Everyone, this is Cheryl Stevenson, Group Editorial Director with Ophthalmology Times. Welcome to this episode of our iPod podcast series. As many in our audience are aware, there is a mega list of pending FDA approvals and PDUFA dates across ophthalmology in 2023. We'll take a look today for the purposes of this podcast segment on the anterior segment, and stay tuned for our retina-related podcast soon. In this segment, we're joined today by two special guests from the West Coast to the East Coast. We have it covered. Dr. Ehsan Sadri is CEO of Visionary Eye Institute in Newport Beach, California, and Dr. William Trattler, who is Director of Cornea with the Center for Excellence in Eye Care in Miami, who will provide an overview of some of the pending pipeline approvals and what these will mean for ophthalmologists and their patients. Dr. Sadri, take it away.
Thank you, Cheryl. For putting this together for us. As you know, guys, we get together probably once a quarter with Bill. Dr. Trattler is a good friend of mine, and kind of go over pipeline, what's coming down the pike and what's exciting for us. And so we had a kind of nice long list that we were kind of sorting through. I think there's a lot of stuff to talk about in retina. What we decided is to have a retina colleague join us to talk about those approvals. I think that'll be appropriate. To Bill's point, we don't want to talk about premium IOLs from a retina doctor, which is great. And vice versa, they probably don't want to hear me talk about GA or certain treatments. But we can have them on. And so we'll be on the lookout for that podcast. So I'm just really happy to get you, Bill. How you been? The family's great.
Oh man, thank you. Everyone's great. Excited to be here with you, Ehsan, as always. And just lots to look forward to. I mean, our practice is ever changing, new technologies, and that's why I love these little conversations with you, because we get to talk about what's on the pipeline, what's about to come out, and how our patients will benefit.
Absolutely. And you know what? It's you and I see patients every day, our walks of life, all different types of pair mixes. And I think you and I both are so excited about the unmet need and what's coming down. I think and we can talk about this another time, but you know, we have this amazing pipeline, but then it's kind of slow to get approved and get covered. So we'll talk about that another time. But you know, obviously for the scope of today, we're going to be talking about what's coming down. So let's start with dry eye. I think you're an expert. You've written many papers. You're a thought leader in this space. What excites you in the next 6-12 months that you think are going to get PDUFA for our patients?
Well, I think that, you know, right now we have a lot of very good treatments for dry eye, but obviously we still see patients every day, and there's always patients that need more help. And there's technology, we just need more technologies, more treatments. And thankfully, we actually have therapies, we have procedures, but they do cost and are covered by insurance. We have medications that may or may not be covered by insurance. And so any new technology we can get to help our patients is definitely exciting. And for me, I guess number one, like on the list for me, is Tarsus, because that technology looks very promising. It's surprising how common blepharitis is in our patients. When you actually have patients look down, this is new for me. When I started having patients just look down and looking at their eyelashes, scurf is actually present in about 50% or more of patients from all different age groups. So just very common. It's just a sign that these patients have excess bacteria on their eyelashes and it's leading to issues with their meibomian gland. So having a treatment for Humidex, which is the underlying part of scurf and blepharitis, is just going to be so helpful for our patients.
Absolutely. You know, you touched on a couple of really good points. I mean, it's probably a pivoting new medication paradigm shift in our practices, right? So we haven't had to honestly have patients look down like you were saying. I think that's kind of new for us, but also really the novel treatment of lotilaner or TP-03 for treatment of Demodex blepharitis. To your point, there's a lot of unmet need, and this is kind of one of those disease states where I think it's going to lead to a lot of patients that are going to do a lot better from an anterior segment standpoint. You know, they're on artificial tears, maybe they've been on a cyclosporin, really they haven't gotten a relief. I think this is going to be a game changer for a lot of patients. Great. That's a great one to start with. And, you know, obviously there's going to be a great opportunity, some challenges also, but they have a great team. I think the PDUFA for that is August 25th, more to come, obviously, from FDA. I think we're going to be super excited. Let's pivot now. What do you think about the role of, you know, Bausch & Lomb and Novaliq? As you know, they've got the new PDUFA for, you know, associated with, you know, treatment of meibomian gland, and that's going to be June 28th, 2023. What are your thoughts on that?
I am super excited. I mean, this product makes so much sense. And when I first heard about a water-free solution for, I don't have a solution, water-free therapy for dry eye, it's like a lubricant, and it makes sense. Like in your car engine, you don't have water to keep it lubricated. You actually use like oil. And this is a type of lubricant that's going to really make the eye feel more comfortable, really help, especially when there's patients that have a lack of meibomian gland secretions. They have, you know, they don't have enough, their oil layer of their tear film isn't sufficient to maintain the aqueous portion of their tears. So this is going to be a perfect product to really help these patients. And I think it's going to be used in all varieties of dry eye, but obviously it's key towards our patients that have lipid deficiency or not enough oil in their tear film.
Yeah, you nailed it. I think this is kind of, again, unmet need, which you and I get excited about. It's going to be evaporative, right? So it's going to hopefully get good coverage because it's different from the previous anti-inflammatory. So can't be pigeonholed in those areas. And that's something that really, I don't want to use the word frustrates, but it's frustrating for us just because we get excited about PDUFA, all this R&D, we do clinical trials together. And then it kind of goes through this, you know, buzzsaw when it comes to insurances. So I'm just excited about new categories because I think it forces the payers to look at this stuff in a different fashion and really force their hand to cover it for our patients. Okay. So with that said, I think you and I both know cyclosporin is a molecule that's been around a long time. Novaliq has another product, June 8th. It's coming up. That's the PDUFA. What are your thoughts on that and segment and what they're doing?
Well, I'm excited again. I don't know as much about this product, but it seems very promising. Again, we love cyclosporin is a very effective therapy for dry eye. And the fact that we might have a combination product that's going to really help our patients with, you know, with dry eye get more effective cyclosporin therapy, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. And I think they kind of, you know, Novaliq, as you know, they sort of did a smart job working on not only evaporative, but also anti-inflammatory components. So just they're just kind of trying to own the market, and they did a really good job with BNL. It'll be interesting to see now that Brent Saunders is going to be in BNL to see how they do this launch. You know, are they going to keep acquiring stuff? I hope so, because I think that would be good for us. We do need another strategic in the marketplace. So more to come on Novaliq. And then, you know, we've left all the, as you know, dry AMD, even DME, that's going to be in the pipeline for back of the eye. Let's talk about the other one on our list today, which is basically Aldura Therapeutics. Do you know much about this? I know it's later on. PDUFA is November. You know, they've been in the news lately. You know, they've got a couple of therapeutic, you know, one is ADX 2190 for vit lymphoma. That's going to be in the back of the eye. But the front of the eye, they've got this sort of Reprolax product for dry eye. It's coming up November 23rd. What are your thoughts on that? Have you heard much? I haven't heard much.
Right. So what I understand is that this is going to be a really like a kind of a new class of anti-inflammatory that's going to be working at a different level, kind of similar to steroids, but a different level than steroids, working a little bit higher up in the pathway so that it's really going to impact your dry patients. I know that for me, my go-to therapy for dry is topical steroids. I use them all day, every day, whether it's MGD, aqueous deficiency dry eye combination. Topical steroids suppress inflammation, help with tear production, help with so much part of it, makes patients feel more comfortable. And apparently this product, Aldura's product is going to work really well for these patients with dry eye. And I'm not sure if it's necessarily aqueous deficiency versus MGD or the combination, but having an anti-inflammatory that hopefully doesn't raise eye pressure and can be used throughout the levels of dry eye can be quite helpful for our patients.
I agree. I mean, it's going to be exciting anytime there's a new MOA. You know, I saw their data. It's pretty impressive. You know, I think at some point I interviewed their CEO, but I haven't heard much since then. So it's good to hear your perspective on it. And I do think you're right. Whenever we have a new player with new MOA, probably we'll get hopefully a new ability to get coverage for our patients. Again, that's going to be a biggest sort of challenge for these companies. The other two companies that I think you and I should talk about is, you know, one is interesting. Both of them get a lot of press right now. One is in presbyopia. The other one is in sort of in the office, ophthalmic solution for reversal of mydriasis. So that's Ocuphire, right? With their patented sort of ophthalmic phentolamine solution. September 28th is PDUFA. A lot of coverage on this, product and company. I've seen them in, accelerators. I'm sure you've seen them in all your other meetings. What are your thoughts? How is this going to be used? And what's their model? Is it going to be cash pay or is it going to be covered? What do you see in your clinic happening with this?
I think that my understanding is it's going to be purchased by practices and sold to the patients as a way to quickly speed up their patients' pupils size so that after they dilated, they can have to take the drop and get back to normal pupil size much more rapidly. It's funny that I still have patients asking me even 15 years after the old version was available, hey, you still have that product? And unfortunately, we don't. So I think this is going to be something that's going to be well-liked by patients. We have to see if the economics for our practice, do we sell, like, how do you figure this out? That's still to be figured out. But I do think that they really want this to be successful. So I think they'll find the right price point to make it work for everybody.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I remember when I was training, we used to have reversibles. That was really popular. And then just kind of died, that whole thing. So I'm really excited. To your point, I think it's still being asked. There's a lot of patients that go, are between work. Like I had one today who, works at a big finance company. And he's like, I can't go back to work. It's like morning times he came by. That's a classic example. And he would have paid for it. I think the economics, how it's done, all that stuff. I think they're doing all the right things when it comes to talking to the KOLs and trying to price it right. It's, it's going to be interesting, but I do think it's exciting. It's cool. And the other one, as you know, is Oracis, which is, 0.4% PILO for presbyopia. Their PDUFA is October 22nd, 2023, coming up. So probably, if that goes through, it'll be the second after Vuity. You and I have talked about Vuity and the presbyopic pharmacological treatment of presbyopia. What are your thoughts there as a category, this one, any other ones you're excited about? And what should they do differently? Do you feel like if they do launch, it sounds like they're going to probably launch and go commercial. What do they need to do in order to get some more traction?
Well, first of all, I think the whole class, the concept of presbyopia drops. To me, it makes so much sense. And it works for me. Like when I use Vuity, I can see without glasses for a certain number of hours a day. I'm excited to get experience of the races to compare the two and see how they work for me and for my patients. I think it's going to be exciting. And the more options we have, and it may be that for certain patients, one version works best. Maybe Vuity is best for a certain group of patients. Maybe a race is better for a different group of patients. Obviously, we have so many others coming out from Vices and Lens. I don't want to forget them all. Ocuphire is having theirs. So we have a lot of great products coming out. And we'll, as we get more experience, we'll figure out which works best for which patients. But this category is important, especially for patients that have had previous LASIK, had had great vision for 20 years without glasses. Now they're in their mid-40s and they don't want to wear glasses anymore. It's not their Plano. They see great for distance. You could try to redo one of their eyes and make it better for reading, but we don't have great choices for them. So I'm really excited that this is a great category and it's going to be great for our patients.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think that AbbVie Allergan did a great job of educating the market. They did a really lot of direct to consumer. They probably learned a lot of lessons along the way. But I think as a sector, as a whole, sort of unmet need, 130 million Americans, big market. I do think you and I probably see less and less of these people. Most of the optometrists see them, but you're spot on. You got these LASIK patients. You're not going to do RLE on a Plano eye, and there's nothing else. So what do? You're sort of left with the option of drops. And I do think that that's a huge market. Also, patients that are still like in their 40s, 50s, sometimes 60s, they come out. Patients that are, I don't know how they do this. They're seeing 20/20 Plano at 60 years old. They don't want any surgery. And they don't like readers. They're probably, I think, may or may not be, to your point, concentration and class of and MOA, whether or not they're going to try. But I definitely think from a sort of risk tolerance cost analysis, is a no-brainer. I'd love for this category to take off, to be honest with you. And I know it won't benefit us necessarily because we're doing surgery and stuff, but I do think it'll benefit our patients. And I think there'll be definitely room for it. And I'm so glad to hear you've always been supportive. In fact, I see your LinkedIn comments and stuff. And, you know, I'm very supportive. And I definitely think that some patients do better with higher concentration of pilo than others. I use this product. I use VUD pretty much 2 or 3 times a week myself still. I do think it's a learning curve for us and the ODs on how to sort of troubleshoot the patients. So I'm looking forward to multiple horses in this race to clean that up and make it really just blow up.
Yes. No, I totally agree. I'm super excited. And again, it's great to know that I guess Company T is going to have their product out in 2023, and hopefully some of the other companies will come out shortly thereafter. And again, more choices for patients, more buzz from all, you know, more doctors and maybe we're trying to sit on the sidelines. Eventually you can't, because patients are going to be asking for it, because again, this fills this zone of patients that aren't the best candidates for surgery, and drops will solve the problem and avoid glasses and contact lenses. So it's pretty very exciting area for me.
Yeah, and I think that I would go back and I would say, because it's such a big market, we need to almost put together a consortium, almost like presbyopia, kind of like we did for cornea, like we did for glaucoma. I think there's a missing gap there where there's leadership of KOLs and thought leaders that can field questions and how to market to patients. I honestly think it's so big that it's, and you know, what we should all do is work together with all the companies to work together, almost like, you know, when you go to Orbitz, when you go buy a, you know, ticket. Orbitz is owned by all the airlines. Most people don't know that. It's owned by Delta, United, American. They all pitched in and launched this app, and everyone buys it and they divvy a revenue share. I think they almost need to do that, because to your point earlier, there's so many companies, and you don't want to, like, you know, sort of have them infight. You want to have them just kind of, you know, blow up the whole market and educate the doctors, and doctors decide. And I think that will be exciting. Yes. As opposed to sort of, oh, this one causes this and the other one doesn't work, et cetera. Yeah, I think that won't do anything good for anybody. And I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but I firmly believe that, you know, for us to have the conversation first with our KOL colleagues, and in addition to the comprehensivists, and then in addition to that, our optometrists that are actually seeing these patients and give them guidelines on do's and don'ts, and our support will help maintain the growth of this sector.
No, I agree. Yeah, 100% agree. This is going to be, these are all great ideas. And again, I think that, you know, once you get more of the companies launched, then we'll see how things play out. But being positive, because in general, these are positive medications and helpful for patients. So the key is to figure out how to help each individual patient in the best way possible.
Thanks to Dr. Sadri and Dr. Trattler for participating in today's podcast segment. Audience members may listen to this and other podcasts at ophthalmologytimes.com/podcasts. Thank you.